So happy it's Thursday. Welcome to ESPN 1700 AM, the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. In studio with us today, I think this is a fourth time repeat offender, the fourth or fifth. We have Sean Weber, family law attorney and mediator with Brave Weber and Mac. Of course, the website, bravewebermac.com. Sean, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me again.
Again, also with us, Justin Retkers. He is the managing director of Pacific Divorce Management, the website pacdivorce.com. Again, welcome.
Thanks for having me again, guys.
This is probably your second or third time as well.
I believe you're number three.
Number three. So, okay.
You've got to be
getting used to this.
Back after this.
Yes, let's hope so. So, ahead of us today, we have a couple different lists. And in general, we're going to be talking about the holidays and divorce. Separation, two words that don't always go together.
That just sounds rough, doesn't it?
Sounds rough. And I would imagine it gets even rougher when we start talking about turkeys and Christmas trees and presents. I can see why there may be a need for tips for successful holiday co-parenting. This is Sean's list. So you're going to take all the blame for this, right?
I will take all the blame.
Take all the blame. It is on his blog, bravewebermac.wordpress.com is his blog, and you can find the six tips for successful holiday co-parenting. And why is it so important during the holiday? Why do we care about it right now? Does it become harder now?
Well, it can. You know, a lot of the money I make, frankly, happens during the holiday season when I get the calls from the couples that are having an emergency over some kind of an issue with the kids during the holidays.
Really?
You know, remember back to when you were a kid, what are the best memories that you had? For most of us, maybe these are the worst memories depending on your background, but for most of us, we have these Norman Rockwell images of the kids around the table and there's some kind of a turkey or something, you know, and no matter what holiday you celebrate, you have this memory of family and a holiday. And when you're a single parent and you're having to co-parent with some other person, maybe it's your ex, with mm-hmm. whom you may not necessarily get along with anymore, it can be a challenge to celebrate those holidays without upsetting that ideal that a person might have for what the holiday should be with your kids.
Well, one might think divorce is actually upsetting the ideal of what we all picture when we're up on that podium saying our vows, you know, committing to be exclusive and raising a family. I actually have experience with what you're talking about. My ex and I get along really well, and she wants to celebrate Christmas together. But I really see it the other way. If we're not together, we're not together.
Well, you know, every couple's different. If you can pull it off and you can do it together, great. Some people do, and I encourage that a lot of the time. But you have to be realistic about what you can do. I mean, there's a reason why there's a divorce, or there's a reason why there's a split up. It's not because everything's butterflies and rainbows, or in the case of the holiday season, elves and reindeer. I don't know. But
yeah, I've seen a lot of people in my practice be able to maintain that co-parenting relationship into the holidays and spend a Christmas or a Hanukkah or whatever it may be with both of those, the mother and the father, the former spouses together with their kids and at the same party or the same get-together. But you have to go into it with clear expectations of what each mother and father is going to expect from the evening or the day that they spend with their kids, and make sure that the kids understand what's going on too, because it can be confusing to little children when they spend holidays together when they don't get to spend any other time together.
Right. That's correct.
I can see how that would be confusing.
Yeah, I mean, I can really see how really one size does not fit every situation here, because when, you know, you're sitting down, you're thinking, okay, well, you can either sell it where it's beneficial that the whole family gets together and you celebrate, you know, here we are, husband and wife, kids and everything, like it was before we got the divorce. Or, you know, you actually have two separate Christmases where, in a way, you can sell the idea on the children where you might get twice as many gifts, you know. When you do separate and you do rekindle another relationship, you get a second set of grandparents and a second set of grandparents. I mean, I went through it when I was a kid. There may be a lot of people out there that obviously this isn't something that you set out to do, but, you know, you're dealing with the life situation that's in front of you, And, you know, if you have a separate Christmas with your children, just make it about them is what my goal is.
I think that's the key. Make it about the children. I think what can happen, especially when we're in the throes of a divorce or maybe just fresh off of a divorce, we tend to have kind of myopic vision. We're thinking about ourselves and our own feelings. Make sure that the decisions you make around the holidays and what you're going to do with the other parent or not do with the other parent is based on what you actually believe is best for the children and not necessarily what is your Norman Rockwell ideal for what the holiday should be. And really, the kid, you're right. The kids will probably be okay. It's actually going to be better for them if they have separate holidays than to have one holiday together and then it's a train wreck.
For sure.
What you don't want to have is, you know, eggnog flying across the room or somebody getting hit with a turkey, you know, or something like that during – you get
or
the point I'm trying to make.
Or somebody too much eggnog with vodka in it.
Correct. Yeah. And something gets said that shouldn't be said, and then we're back into the same dysfunction that led to the conflict. You hear a lot of people say, I'd rather be from a broken home than in one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, when people get a divorce, I always say it's kind of like back surgery. You don't do it until you have to.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Right? But when you have to, you got to do it. And so, and sometimes that means, well, that also means we're getting divorced for a reason, so we can't necessarily spend Christmas together or Hanukkah together.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Sean Weber, his website, bravewebermac.com, and his blog, bravewebermac.wordpress.com, where you can find his 6 tips for successful holiday co-parenting. And they kind of seem like a roadmap to avoid potential pitfalls that you've run into before. And you have a list of about 4 of these pitfalls, and I'm gonna kind of read off and give you a chance to talk about them. The kids were with my ex last year. Now he wants to take them again.
Yeah, what you're reading from are examples that of the phone calls that I get of people in, you know, terrified that this is going to happen, you know. And one of the things that's important to do is to be specific about your parenting plan. You know, and that's what generates this question because, you know, which month, you know, which year is it? What we typically see in the San Diego family courts, at least, is you'll see an alternating schedule where, you know, this year we get the kids for Christmas on an even, you know, an odd year. And then the next year it goes to the other parent, you know,
I see.
Odd and even years. And you'll have a whole holiday calendar that supersedes your main parenting plan or your parenting schedule, which says, okay, in even-numbered years, this is the holidays that dad gets, and in odd-numbered years, this is the holidays that mom gets, and vice versa, and it flips from year to year. And that may seem like it's kind of cumbersome, but here's the point. There's a reason why lawyers write things down. And it's not it's to take away, you know, the unknown. We want to make sure that we know everything, and when you have everything written down, it's straightforward. There's no surprises. That way, there's not going to be gamesmanship. There's not going to be people playing games. And sometimes people don't even intentionally play games. They just do because they want to have the holiday with their kid.
Now, that makes a lot of sense to me because when you're talking about a solid, good, written contract, you've got a potential for a great transaction, if you will. I mean, you just refer to the contract. This is what we agreed on. This is what we signed it. It's been considered fair to both of us. Maybe not when you're kind of off record, but it's a signed document that you've agreed on.
Right, and then that kind of leads us to the next point, and that is don't wait until the last minute. You know, discuss your holiday plans early. You know, I had the call so many times, oh, I was going to go see my family, and I was going to take the kids, and that woman or that man is screwing it up for us, and I already bought the plane tickets, and they're non-refundable. What do I do? You know, well, Christmas Eve is not the day to figure this out.
Sure, I can see how lack of ambiguity has the potential to make things go over much smoother.
Right. I mean, you're going to get better deals on your flights anyway if you plan early. So let's start in the summer and talk about it, right?
That's my realm, Sean.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, well, I can certainly see that. And how early do people need to plan? I mean, you're kind of talking laying out a plan for the rest of the life with the kids, right?
Right. I mean, I don't think we have to plan the entire life. But you know, let's look at a year. I think start in January, honestly, and look at the whole year. And confer with the other party about what we're going to do for our holiday plans. And if you have travel plans that you want to work into something, or if somebody's getting married, or if you want to spend Christmas break with somebody or winter break with someone, get that out in the open. Get it in writing so that there's no ambiguity later.
Yeah, I think that's part of why it is so important to have that contract on paper, to have that agreement early on. Because if you can't agree to something different on a going forward basis every year, then you have that document to rely back upon as to if you're going to alternate those holidays or if there are specific holidays like kids spend time with mom on Mother's Day, obviously, things like that. You can have that document to fall back on if there's ever any errors or omissions in the schedule.